This is Pat Soundbites Unplugged. Unplugged, the podcast where all the artists go to tell it as it is. Careers, music, tours, and more. And here's your host, the man that refuses to eat squid, Pat Calamari.
Hey, Pat Calamari here, and this is Pat Soundbites Unplugged. Today is Saturday, November 23rd, 2019, episode number 8, as we continue to move along. Now, scheduling this amazing rock legend took some time due to logistics only, really. But finally, I got to speak with him back on Tuesday, August 6th of this year. And I'm talking about Mr. Don Felder. Don released a new album titled American Rock and Roll on April the 5th. Got some great sounding rock tracks. And staying true to my motto of keeping new music alive on the radio airways, I have been playing many of these tracks on my radio show, The Pat Show, on Sunday nights from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on WBXO Radio in New York. Don called me from his studios in Southern California, and I had about 10 or so minutes with him as he had folks in his studio that he had to get back to. So let me say, any time with Don Felder works for me. I'll share with you this also. I specifically stayed away from any questions with regards to his time spent with the Eagles. That's been documented enough in court, back and forth. Just not worth it. And I told him this ahead of time, and he really appreciated that very much. And the only other thing I will share from this interview with Don was, sadly, I was unable to attend his show in September down in Long Island. Trust me, a real bummer. But I will catch him, hopefully soon in 2020, and get him to roll the dice, as he seemed very, very interested. Okay, sit back, enjoy, listen, and share with your friends. Here is Don Felder. WBXO Classic Rock Read to 5, honored to have on our phone today, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, one of the great guitarists in the business, got a new album out, bouncing back and forth on tour. Welcome rock legend Don Felder. Don, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Pat. How's it going up there where you are?
We are super excited. It's going even better to have you on the phone. Thank you for your time and congratulations on this awesome album, American Rock and Roll. Boy, did that say a lot.
Yeah, it was really fun to do. You know, I sort of decided after making all the records I had made in the past, including the last album I made, which was The Road to Forever, I played every guitar part on the whole record. All the electric guitars, slide guitars, acoustic guitars, violin string guitar, you name it, if it had strings on it, I played it on the record. And this record, I decided not to do that. I wanted to have other guest artists come in, play toe-to-toe with like great guitar players like Joe Satriani or with Slash, and put together these tracks that were just full of fire and inspiration, instead of me overdubbing one line and then me overdubbing the next line, and, you know, just play. And it came out really great. I had so much fun making this record, and it was so kind and so generous of so many people that I reached out to. Everybody showed up with a big yes and a smile on their face to jump on this record, from Mick Fleetwood and Chad Smith, and gosh, like I said, Slash, and Peter Frampton, and Alec Lifeson from Rush. Just tons and tons of people came out. Sammy Hagar and I sing a duet on this record. Just so much fun having so many unbelievably talented and gifted people come in and play with me on this record. I had them all.
That is great. How difficult was it, Don, to place the right artist with the right track?
Well, that was the most fun. You know, I know pretty much how all those guys play. The reason I chose Mick Fleetwood to start the song American Rock and Roll is that it starts back in Woodstock in 69, early 60s, early 70s. And when Mick plays, he feels and sounds like that. He can't help it. It's just he's identified, his sound and style is identified with those 70s records that Fleetwood Mac made. And even before it was officially with Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham, when it was Peter Green, it just sounds like Mick. And so I wanted to start that song with Mick kind of laying down that feel, that pocket. And then about halfway through, Chad Smith, the drummer from the Chili Peppers, comes in and he comes You play so hard, so aggressively, like the Chili Peppers, and
right.
like the Foo Fighters, and that later era when the drums really took a much more aggressive edge. So I wanted the track to mutate, to migrate from the 70s through the generations until, you know, the 90s and into the decades that we're in now, as I went along noting all the different artists that had risen to their own level of celebrity and notability in their careers.
And how
had a great time putting this record together.
And how ironic, here we are coming up to the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, and the song, you know, you throw in every artist, Jimi Hendrix, you know, Crosby, Stills. I mean, and if I saw you on one of the TV interviews that you were at the original Woodstock. Is that where you pretty much got the influence from?
Yeah, I mean, I think that event, I was there, absolutely. I was one of the 400,000 people at that event and saw all those amazing artists and just had my mind blown by the level of musicianship from Hendrix to Janis Joplin to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young to Santana, on and on and on and on. Just about every unbelievably notable artist was there of that era. And not only did it influence me, it was most likely the largest rock explosion in the history of music.
Absolutely.
It radiated and transmitted worldwide this phenomenon. And there was no internet. There wasn't things that went viral. It just was grassroots. It just exploded across the world, you know, and affected me and just about every one of the guys that I got to play on this record were also affected by that particular event, and had their idols and people like Hendrix and Anna. You know, my daughter loves Janis Joplin, and you know, it goes way back into how deep, when you were really young, you were influenced by those artists. So anyway, it was just interesting that it is turning out to be the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, and I have seen several attempts to recreate that, and they have all kind of paled by comparison. It's just a phenomenon that I don't think will ever be recreated.
I totally agree with you, Don, and I got to see you up at Bethel Woods, I want to say a couple of years ago, on the United We Rock tour with REO and Styx, and you rocked it, my friend, that's for sure. That was great. Great show.
That
all
whole tour was so much fun. I have to say, everybody in the Styx organization, including their crew and the band guys and their management and the REO team, are so easy to work with. We had so much fun. There's no divas stomping around throwing hissy fits. We just had a lot of fun, and everybody jammed with each other. I know Tommy Shaw came out and sat in with me on a couple of songs on, I think, Take It Easy.
Yes.
Hotel. Dave Armada came out and played. Both of the other drummers came out and played on Hotel with me. It was just a lot of fun, you know. It was just a wonderful show, and a lot of people all on the road. We were on the road. We did a bunch of shows together, maybe 60, 70.
Wow.
And, you know, under all the travel conditions and stuff that were going on, there was never an ill word spoken by anyone. Just really good. That's the kind of tour you want to be on with those kind of people.
Absolutely. You couldn't have more fun than that. Getting back to the album, Don, you know, a super mix, you know, starting with the Salute to the American Rock Roll. So I got, you know, and I'm a lyric guy. I really want to hear the story behind the song. You know, funky, Hearts on Fire, you know, What Are You Gonna Do When You Fall in Love type of thing, and then Rock You, and then I really loved Falling in Love. I mean, that was like, wow. So I think I maybe asked you before, where do you find the inspiration for the songs, and maybe what's your favorite part of the songwriting process?
Well, I'm constantly writing. Whether I'm driving down the freeway in my car and I get a lyric that runs through my head, and I pick up my iPhone and I sing into it, looking over my shoulder, hoping I'm not going to get stopped by a cop, holding a phone. But I just make little notes. If I'm sitting on a plane and I get an idea for a song, I'll pick up my laptop and write the lyrics down. So I'm constantly collecting these little pieces. ideas that I have, when I finally have the time to sit down and start working on a project, those moments of inspiration, I take those little snippets and elaborate. I blow life into them and put skin and bones on them and see if I can't get them to stand up on their own to the point where I can, you know, say, well, wow, this looks like, you know, if we really track this with a real band, overdubbed and da da da, and did these back on harmonies and so forth and so on, I can have places to start. And most of those come from life as you live it.
Right.
Most writers that write, whether it's stories or movies or songs, really try to write from their own personal experiences. So if you can't write about something that you haven't lived yourself, to tell you the truth, and in the process, like for example, there's a very Spanish influenced track on there called "Little Latin Lover." I got invited to go to Argentina and Buenos Aires, and well, one of my friends that I went down there with was dating this tango instructor, beautiful, beautiful woman who could dance the tango like you had never seen.
So nice.
He took us out to this tango bar. And it's like a large oval dance floor, and all the way around the outside of this dance floor are tables where people sit and watch these people dance the tango. You can get up and dance too if you want, if you know how to dance tango. I tried, and after I stepped on the
the girl's toe,
I spared her personal injury. But I was sitting there going, this is absolutely so romantic and so beautiful, and everyone's watching these dresses kind of swish by, and this romantic kind of dance. I went, this is the song. And so I just had that glimpse of that moment and wrote down a Latin lover. And I didn't have anything other than that vision of that tango and that area. But I wanted to have something I could play nylon string guitar on. And so I started writing that idea, and it should be kind of a more upbeat Latin flavor, and then I got inspired by that and started writing lyrics to it. And it's just, you know, things that you see and impact you in a certain way. It's like a snapshot of a scene that you can elaborate into a story of a song is kind of how I go about doing it.
Well, it's definitely a great song. I know you got a busy schedule, Don. I don't want to hold you up, but I got to say, so the listeners know, I'm a big fan of artists that give back, and you're giving back, helping many charities: Starkey Hearing Foundation, Ruck and Rock in Hong Kong for underprivileged children, Autism Speaks. You know, I applaud you certainly for that, sir.
Well, you know, I've been given so much and so many gifts and, you know, awarded in so many beautiful ways that I have more than I deserve, and I like to give back as much as I can in as many ways as I possibly can.
Well, that's awesome, and I want to make sure the listeners realize that there are great artists out there that give back and help out wherever they can help out. Don, anything left on your bucket list that we can help promote?
Yeah, at the very top of my bucket list is don't kick the bucket.
Well, that's the best advice anybody can give. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, Don. Well, for tour dates, go to donfelder.com. Buy this awesome album. I love it. American Rock and Roll. Been playing a bunch of tracks since the release. Don, I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I have. And I look forward to meeting up with you at a show and getting you to roll the dice so we can play the entire album on the show.
I would love that, Pat. Thanks for taking the time to do this. I will see you in upstate New York or in Jersey when I'm there. We will roll the dice, and hopefully I can roll them so that I can have you play my whole album.
There you go. Well, we're probably going to see you down in Long Island on September 28th. Don, thank you again for your time. Safe travels, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Bye-bye, Pat.
Bye, Don.